Well, this week, U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions made a significant change to U.S. asylum rules that now make it virtually impossible for asylum seekers to win entry into the United States based on fears of gang violence or domestic abuse. Sessions said on Monday that he believes too many people are taking advantage of what he views as a loophole in the Immigration and Nationality Act, or INA.
Under the INA, asylum is available for those who leave their home country because of persecution or fear on account of race, religion, nationality, or membership in a particular social group or political opinion. Asylum was never meant to alleviate all problems, even all serious problems, that people face every day all over the world.
Sessions' decision came in a ruling that he made in a closely scrutinized domestic violence case. He reversed an Immigration Appeals Court ruling that granted asylum to a Salvadoran woman who had said she'd been sexually, emotionally, and physically abused by her husband. So for some reaction, we're joined now by Sarah Sherman Stokes. She's the Associate Director of the Immigrants' Rights and Human Trafficking Clinic at Boston University, and she joins us in the studio. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much.
So what was your initial reaction when the Attorney General made this decision?
Well, this decision is devastating for our clients and for immigrant communities in the United States and for people who are fleeing serious violence from all over the world.
Okay. How many people who seek asylum in the United States are currently claiming these domestic violence or gang violence related fears?
So it's longstanding that people who suffer violence by, quote, private actors like gang members or abusive partners or spouses can get asylum in the United States. In his decision, Sessions overturned basically 20 years of asylum jurisprudence that grants asylum to people who have suffered this kind of harm. So it's a pretty sweeping decision that has the potential to affect a lot of my clients and clients in this community.
I'll come back to that in a second, but tell us a little bit more about some of the claims that your clients are making. I mean, what are the fears specifically that they have? Granted, I know that every case is individual, but can you give us some examples?
Certainly. And I think it is important to point out that every case is individual. One of the other things that Sessions does in this decision is prejudge a lot of these cases by saying they should all basically be denied without individually considering the merits of each case, which is what asylum law is meant to do. In terms of my clients, they've made claims not dissimilar from the claims of Ms. A.B., the immigrant whose case is at issue in this decision. Many of my clients are survivors of pretty significant domestic violence. They've been physically, sexually, and emotionally abused in their home countries. I have other clients. I presently have two child clients, siblings, whose parents were murdered by gang members in their home country, and they then fled to the United States seeking protection. I don't think that their case is over after this decision, but it certainly will become more difficult.
So I want to focus on the domestic violence claims for a second here, because gang violence is also kind of a different thing, equally thorny. But to the Attorney General's point earlier in the tape that we heard, he's basically making the argument that asylum laws are set up to protect or grant asylum to people who need protection from the persecution of the government in their home country. And that domestic violence, while terrible, is not persecution by a government. If anything, it's failure of a home government to protect its individual citizens. But that's not necessarily the responsibility of the United States. So I mean, what's your response to that?
Yeah. Unfortunately, all 11 circuit courts disagree with him. So in fact, it's long understood that people who are the survivors of private violence can get protection in the United States. If you suffer harm from a private actor, you simply must show that your government is either unable or unwilling to protect you.
So you have to prove government negligence here.
That's correct.
Maybe negligence isn't the right word, but unwillingness to protect.
Inability or unwillingness to protect.
Okay. So that seems like actually a pretty high bar. How do asylum seekers go about proving that?
It is. And asylum seekers have done and will continue to do what they've always done, which is to present copious amounts of country conditions evidence and testimony from country experts that corroborate that some home country governments fail to protect survivors of domestic violence. For example, a client of mine might go to the police in her home country and report that she is being abused by her partner. And oftentimes the police will say, that's a private matter, that's a family matter, we're not going to get involved. Or, you're the property of your husband, we can't help you. So that is direct evidence that a government, that the law enforcement agency of that country is refusing essentially to protect that survivor of domestic violence.
This might be a slight repeat of what we just talked about, but I'm trying to put myself in the shoes of those Americans who wholly support Attorney General Sessions' decision. And they do see the claim of needing asylum based on domestic violence as a loophole in U.S. immigration laws. I mean, what would you say to them?
Yeah. Respectfully, I strongly disagree. Asylum has never been a loophole. Asylum is a very high bar. People have to provide significant evidence of the harm and persecution they suffered and the harm and persecution they would suffer if forced to return to their home countries. This is not a loophole. It is enshrined in the statute. It complies with our obligations under international refugee treaties. If Congress wants to change the law, they can do that. But this is the law as it stands now. And the idea that Sessions advances, that these migrants, that these refugees are taking advantage of some kind of loophole or are trying to game the system is just false.
Well, let's play a little bit more from Attorney General Sessions here, because he was speaking to a group of immigration judges. And he basically reminded them that nevertheless, regardless of what he says, their fundamental job is still to rule on individual cases fairly.
It will be your duty, of course, to carry that out. This decision will provide more clarity for you. It will help you to rule consistently, and all our judges to rule consistently throughout the country and fairly.
What's your response to that?
That's nice, paying nice lip service to judicial independence, but I think it's contradicted by the language of his decision, which states unequivocally, quote, generally claims by non-citizens pertaining to domestic violence or gang violence perpetrated by non-governmental actors will not qualify for asylum. That's sending a pretty strong message to adjudicators about the decisions they should make in these cases.
So let's talk about gang violence for a moment, because I know in many of the, especially Central and South American nations, that is one of the major reasons why people are fleeing, because it's ubiquitous and terrible. What do you think that this is going to stop a lot of people from trying to come to the United States to seek asylum based on the violence in their hometowns or villages?
So the idea that this decision is going to deter people, I think, is misplaced. It's very difficult to deter people who have no other choice. Many of my clients attempted to seek safety within their home countries. They didn't want to leave their families and their communities behind, but they were left with no choice. Many of them tried to relocate internally in their home countries. They went into hiding. They went to other cities and neighborhoods, but still they were unsafe. Still the gangs found them, or still their abusers found them. They only came to the United States when they had no other option.
So what's going to happen to your clients now who are in the process of seeking asylum in the United States?
Right. We're not sure. I think we are all waiting with bated breath to see how this plays out in some ways. We're also, trying to craft creative, novel legal arguments. While I think this is a devastating decision, I also don't want to be alarmist. We do still have strong legal footing to make these claims. We still have good case law on our side, and we still have the law. Sessions did a lot in this decision, but he did not change the legal standard. He simply reinterpreted a legal standard. I will say, fortunately, that my clients have a lawyer. Many people do not have a lawyer in immigration proceedings, and I think that's one of the biggest challenges coming out of this case, is that now we're expecting pro se or unrepresented immigrants who are seeking asylum to navigate this increasingly complex system on their own.
Just for a bit of clarity, though, I mean, so you said that the Attorney General didn't change the law. He reinterpreted a legal standard. But I also heard you say a couple of minutes ago that he was pretty clear in his interpretation to immigration judges. So which one is it? Do immigration judges still have some legal leeway here?
I think they do. I think part of that will be dependent on the immigration judge herself and what she chooses to do. But I do. There is still good persuasive authority and good law on her side. And I think Sessions' decision is wrong.
Well, that's Sarah Sherman Stokes. She's the Associate Director of the Immigrants' Rights and Human Trafficking Clinic at Boston University. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.